Welcome to the Inside Out Money Podcast. Can't even recognize this place. Too many pieces of our past mistakes. Hi, I'm Maggie, and I believe real change starts from the inside out. So let's work together to improve our money and our lives from the inside out. We will explore all things money and our relationship with it. Join me each week with a rotating set of co-hosts, friends, and interviews. Let's jump in. Hey, Erica.
Hey, Maggie.
Was that like a tiny little hi, Maggie? How are you feeling, Erica?
Oh, man, I'm exhausted. How are you feeling?
I've had a busy day. I almost feel like guilty saying I'm exhausted in early retirement, but I know you actually are feeling exhausted, and I think it's perfect timing to have this discussion about exhaustion.
Yeah, I like talking about my fatigue regularly and my sleep problems, so let's talk about the Time article that I shared with you about exhaustion.
Yeah. I mean, before we do that real quick, I'm just gonna let people know. No, it's fine. But if in case you're like, who are these tired people? Welcome to the Inside Out Money Podcast. This is a personal finance podcast focused on redefining wealth from the exhausted inside out. Each week, I speak with a rotating set of co-hosts about a different financial topic to help you improve your financial mindset and tactics. Today, we've got co-host Erica here, who is one of my best childhood friends. We've been friends for like 30 plus, I don't remember how old we are, but a lot of years.
Back when we used to have a lot more energy, let's just say that.
A lot of decades before we were exhausted. And we're going to talk about why we are all so exhausted. And we'll tie it into money, right? Why it's also costing us money. But yeah, Erica, go back to this Time article that you sent me.
Yeah, so...
And let's talk about what inspired this.
So this Time article, and it's a 6-minute read, so I was like, woohoo, this I can read. This I can get through without falling asleep.
It would be ironic if the article about exhaustion was like really long and nobody had time to get through
and
it.
And everyone's just like, TLDR.
Right.
So,
but either way, we're going to give you the TLDR version of it.
Right.
Which is too long, didn't read.
Right. And it's also 6 minutes. So take whichever version works best for you folks. But it is an article about what is coined the Great Exhaustion, which is something that came out of the Great.
Yeah, it's from like the Great Resignation, Quiet Quitting. There's a bunch of like recent kind of trends that, I don't know, inspired the
point here. So during COVID, there was like the Great Resignation and Quiet Quitting, especially with how hard everyone was working. There was just an exaggerated and rightfully so level of stress that everyone was feeling during the pandemic. And a lot of people learned to prioritize what mattered to them, and potentially just even if they didn't learn to prioritize it, they just did it. And so a lot of people resigned from jobs where they didn't feel valued. A lot of people, I mean, I guess it just comes down to the resignation. That's where this term came from. And then coming out of that was the Great Exhaustion. I think we just always need periods of greatness, I guess, is how we're defining these things in our society.
The Great Depression. Yeah. I thought what was very interesting about it was that, you know, exhaustion is not like a new concept, right? People being burnout, it's quite honestly what led to me being motivated and excited to early retire. But it was that, and this article was not written by Cal Newport, but it's referencing a lot of his thoughts. And Cal Newport is the author of Deep Work, Digital Minimalism. His most recent book is Slow Productivity, which is The Lost Art of Accomplishment Without Burnout. It's actually on my reading list, on my wait list right now. But so it's referencing a lot of his ideas. And it went on to make one of its biggest points, which are, again, exhaustion is something that's been around forever, but there's some very commonly overlooked contributing factors to the current type of exhaustion people are having. And some of those factors are like unsustainable lifestyles, exposure to stress outside of our control, and financial insecurity, which we can talk about more. But I just thought it was interesting that the point was all of these facets of our lives, we've kind of normalized in a way. And as a result, we're almost like disregarding them. And I took it as a bit of a call to action, or I at least want to take it as a call to action to say, like, let's dig into these a little bit and not normalize them. Let's look at what we could do to it's not stop the cycle, but to better like manage and mitigate these factors.
Yeah. And a lot of these things come about as a result of something else. So the Great Resignation was a backlash to hustle culture, which was for so long highlighted in work, you know, like, I'm so busy, I just can't do this and that. And everyone's like bragging about how busy they are, how little they sleep. And that became normalized. And that was just weird in itself. And now people are learning boundaries, they're learning priorities, and just there are huge health risks and financial risks that accompany feeling burned out this way. And I think having that forced slowdown or forced stoppage that we had during the pandemic really allowed most people, not everyone could really take that pause. You know, some people really do have to work to live. And
yeah, not everyone can afford that literally or physically.
Right. And
I guess
so
literally is physically, but
regardless. So I think it's interesting that this is a backlash to hustle culture. You know, of course, you're going to like go, go, go until you can't go anymore. And that's where we are. And it's not that people are just quitting and then that's it. It's people are quitting. People are slowing down. People are just redefining what that looks like to them and trying to earn back little bits of energy in doing so, like feeling re-energized to go back into the work world, go back into just being around people.
So I think it's worth hitting these three overlooked factors that are referenced in the article. And the first one is unsustained lifestyles. And they're kind of making the point, a little bit of what you were just saying, Erica, of people prioritizing work over their well-being. And they make the reference to Dan Buettner's Blue Zones, which is a pretty famous thing that he studied throughout his career, and referencing the data that came out of studying the Blue Zones and just this idea of a business needs first society versus a human needs first society, and why people in the Blue Zones are so much healthier and more successful. And I use the word successful in a like happiness standpoint, not like career successful, is because it's considered a human needs first lifestyle. And they prioritize the things that are needed as human beings, which means eating whole food, having rich social lives, getting regular movement, working with a purpose rather than for the sake of maximizing productivity. And so to me, I thought that was a really interesting one because, you know, when you're exhausted and you sort of stop and think why you're exhausted and what you're focusing on and what you're not, I mean, that's one for me where when I think about some of the most exhausted times in my life, I 100% was putting business needs before my human needs.
Yeah. And that it's good that you can recognize that even if it's a smidge too late, but it did resonate with you to the point where you could say, this isn't working.
Yeah.
That, like you said, that's what motivated you to early retire.
Yeah.
A second point to this, these overlooked factors, is stress beyond our control, which is exposure to stress we can't manage, which erodes hope, which is a powerful counter to exhaustion.
Erica, I think it's worth clarifying for people that this isn't the stress of like balancing a demanding job or childcare. This is the stress of like wars, climate disasters, tragedies around the world, inflation, the economy, the presidential options in the United States. I mean, the political landscape, whatever you want to call it. I just thought that one was interesting because you often think of stress as just the basic stuff, right? Of like, oh, I'm tired. Work is exhausting. My kids are exhausting. The cycle that you're in. And realizing that there's all these things that are actually out of our control that have a pretty big impact. And Greg and I talk about all the time. We can get into it more on solutions, but like watching the news can add to your exhaustion. I'll just put it that way. We can save it more for later.
Yeah. The third overlooked factor is a big one, and this is financial insecurity, which is normalized financial stress that impacts our physical and mental well-being. And I definitely want to highlight that this is different for different people, different classes of people. It, you know, given the inequities in our country, financial insecurity for you and me is very different for a majority of people in our country. You know, you've talked about your bag lady syndrome, and that's certainly very real and something that you feel. But there is something to be said for people out there who are working multiple jobs just to kind of make ends meet. And so that's just a different level of added stress that you and I are fortunate enough not to experience or have experienced, but something that I can't even imagine the levels of stress that can add to a person's life on top of everything we've already talked about, you know, stress beyond our control, which probably ties in general with financial insecurity, because everything we're talking about, wars, elections, this all affects finances.
Yeah, there's so many levels of this, and the article doesn't really address the point you just made around the levels of financial insecurity, if you will. They actually just kind of focus on a point that's been made a lot recently, or I'm at least hearing a lot recently in financial content I consume, which is 50 years ago, you could easily live on a single income and afford a house, a car. The way they reference it, a wife and kids, which is very old school thinking to imply that the man is working and that it's a man and wife, but whatever. The point is, they are making the point of you could live on a single income and have a family and have a spouse and have a partner, afford to live easily. And now that's like really hard to do on a single income. It's hard to do on a dual income for many families. And, you know, the cost of housing is so much higher. The cost of utilities, the cost of food. I mean, just with everything with inflation, like it is harder and harder to a regular job and be able to just sustain and live a lifestyle in this world. Like everything is just so much more expensive. You know, I just think that's an interesting point because, again, it's not one when I think about like why we're all so exhausted, like it's not one that was, you know, money is obviously top of mind because I think about it a lot. But just the idea of how much things have changed in the last 50 years and what you can afford with different types of jobs now versus then, it's quite different.
Right. Things that used to be affordable just don't seem to be.
Yeah. And we're saying that from a huge place of privilege also.
Right.
Right. So imagine, I think your point, Erica, earlier was like, imagine if you don't have the head start in life that we were both given. We had pretty similar upbringings, I would say, right? Mm-hmm. If you weren't given that head start in life and didn't have the safety net and the backups that we have, like if something were to happen to us and we lost our jobs or like even lost our homes, like we'd have places we could go with family and friends and other things. And so, you know, that is not a reality for many people. And so that's a whole nother level of exhaustion that, again, isn't even really covered in this article specifically, but is a point worth making. So I think on that point, that was what the article is about. It is very interesting. We'll put a link in the show notes to it. Again, it was on Time.
In Time magazine. Well, it was timely.
It was timely. Yes. We could come up with a lot of time puns, right? Timely puns right now, but we'll continue. So I think what's interesting is to further, since this is a financial podcast, let's further tie this into how exhaustion affects our finances. And we don't need to like belabor this. We can just, you know, make some of these points quickly and then get on to some of the action items, because I actually think that is what is most helpful for people. We know you're all exhausted. We'll actually try to keep this tight and not make you more exhausted. But some of the different reasons or some of the different ways that exhaustion actually impacts our finances, one of the ways is it actually impacts our work, which impacts our income. So, I mean, the more exhausted we are, the less productive we are, the more missed opportunities we are, the more missed potential career opportunities we have, we're just sort of getting by at work. And I remember different times in my career like this, where, you know, you don't have the extra energy to do some of the networking that's necessary to be a little nicer and kinder to people, right? You're tired, you're more short with people, you're not able to kind of see the forest through the trees and pursue different promotions and different opportunities, or even take on different additional responsibilities that could help you get to the next level or help you get the next promotion or affect your income. And so, I mean, a huge piece of just being exhausted is it, you know, it has a direct impact on your work, which impacts your money and how much you can make and your earning potential, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm so exhausted. I was just staring right through you while you were reading that as if I'm a passive listener on this podcast and I'm your co-host right now. That's where I am.
You can be both today, especially. We both also just got back from like spring break and are kind of getting back in the grind of things. And like we were discussing before we were recording, spring break and traveling with kids, it's not a vacation. It is a family trip, which is very different than having like time off.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely and I appreciate the time. And I know we both appreciate the time with our family and our kids, but
it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, just a really, really quick aside. I was at spring break with my kids and our parents, my mom and Greg's mom. And at one point I made a point to thank both of our moms, because the one thing that I did not do on vacation, which I recently did my entire vacation, we had like a winter break with the kids recently. We went to a cabin. I felt like and all our kids had a friend with them. So it was like six kids. I literally felt like the whole trip, all I was doing was feeding and doing dishes and cleaning and just like, and then repeat an hour break. And then we start the next meal and like, it's exhausting. And I was telling our moms, I was like, thank you guys, because I was doing a lot of cooking just because I like to, but I didn't clean a single dish when I was there. I mean, they would clean everything. Everything was picked up before I could. And I was like, I really appreciate it. Cause I was like, I'm able to relax so much more before you're here because you're here. And so it was like having three generations in a house was like some shared duties of who could, you know, take on the workload.
That's nice.
Anyways, it was nice. Okay. What else? What else is, how else is exhaustion affecting our finances?
Yeah. We could get into the healthcare costs of it because chronic exhaustion is a physical manifestation of everything you're experiencing in life. And so that can lead to health issues and medical expenses related to stress, sleep disorders. I can definitely speak to that, or other health conditions which constrain your finances.
I think, you know, another interesting one to me is impulse spending and just, yeah, I know when I'm kind of more tired and more stressed, I make more impulsive spending decisions. And then, you know, the term retail therapy is a real thing. I definitely used to order takeout a lot more and pick up food on my way home when I was working late, like a lot more when I was exhausted and working a lot. And I personally noticed those trends. And, you know, that's a whole negative cycle because, you know, you are exhausted, so you're eating out more and that food isn't great for your body. And then you feel worse. And so it's impacting your health. And it's just this whole, you know, negative cycle. And there's also things just like you're not as on top of your finances. And so, you know, different late fees, and I'll forget to cancel a credit card that I was, you know, doing for travel hacking and only wanted to have for a year. And I just get behind on things, and you don't notice as many things, and you're not paying attention to your finances as actively when you are exhausted. And so I think there's like a real, you know, direct connection between exhaustion and spending and not being able to kind of be as intentional and catch what's happening with your expenses and be as thoughtful with them.
Yeah. And to your point about like getting takeout, you know, when you're coming home from work, because I certainly did it while I was solo parenting this week, and my kids had like 87 sports events where we were gone from like morning to night. And it was like, there's just no way I can get any sort of food situation together that isn't delivery. And gave myself that. That's not our normal go-to. I knew it was going to be like crazy fees. And was like, you know what? It takes the stress off of me to not have to think about one more thing. While I was watching my son's baseball game, I was placing our food delivery to be there while we got home. You know, so there are some modern conveniences that are good. It's recognizing if that becomes a habit, you know, like Maggie said, it starts to snowball into now you're eating poorly, you feel bad, it affects your sleep. It all snowballs, which is what a lot of this stuff does. And so that's where I think a huge thing that goes with this is like creating space to the extent that you can, so that when things come up, you can dive into them. You know, if you leave no room for, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but if you leave no room for your schedule's packed nonstop.
Margin. So Erica, I think your point is really important of like, be kind to yourself. So even the, you know, in some of the solutions we'll talk about in a moment, which was a good segue to get to, or not even solutions, but ideas for, you know, how to help alleviate exhaustion and fatigue. In general, be kind to yourself. Like, these are ideas we want to, I think, you know, the reason we do this podcast is because we want to be more intentional about how we're living our lives, how we're focusing on our finances, which help us live our lives better. But none of us are perfect, and we don't expect any of you to be perfect. And so I think in that example of like, you know, you were solo parenting, you had a bunch of kids activities, like there's no, or maybe you just had a bad day. It doesn't matter what the reason is, right? You ordered takeout, like no big deal. People do it all the time, right? I think it's the intentionality of saying like, oh, I need this right now. I don't want to make a habit of this because I know it's not in line with, you know, what I want to do. But there might be other things that actually are in line with what you want to do, right? You might say, I don't ever want to clean my house right now because I've just got too much on my plate. I want to outsource that. And that's fine, right? So I think in everything we're saying, I think, you know you and be kind to yourself. But to kind of segue into some ideas, I think the idea of prioritizing self-care and helping to kind of manage your exhaustion, it can mitigate a lot of these negative effects. And, you know, even when we go back to like what the article really talked about, you know, there's specific things you can do, like don't spend as much time watching and consuming the news, because a lot of those things, I'm not saying like bury your head under a pillow and don't do anything, but there are a lot of things that are beyond our control day to day. And if you're going to commit yourself to like educating yourself and fixing an issue, that's great. Right? An issue in the world. I mean, that's great. But But if you're just going to read all that stuff and like go down a negative spiral, which Greg and I talk about this all the time, because I consume way less news than he does. And he will get into different times in his life when he's like, I'm noticing that my happiness is impacted by the amount of news that I am reading and consuming. And when he does less and still consumes it, but in a much more sort of mitigated or streamlined way, he's like much happier, right? And so I just use that as one example of, you know, there are things you can do to mitigate the negative effects of exhaustion. And one of them is just being, you know, very intentional.
A lot of that, like with the negativity from the news, which I can certainly relate to what Greg was saying, especially in 2020, I was like deep diving into like everything going on in the world. And it was like a negative hit to my mental health and overall well-being. But for years, I've had sleep issues and finally got those kind of addressed. Finally, someone heard me say out loud, oh, I have insomnia. Oh, you do? It sounds like it. Like, yeah, I don't know why it took me saying I haven't slept in 30 years for you to finally hear that I have insomnia. But prioritizing your sleep and creating good sleep habits can really help. Talk about the snowball effect. A good night of sleep helps with eating well, helps with being more productive at work, helps with better financial decisions. Everything kind of begets the next thing. And so prioritizing that, aiming for 7 to 9 hours a night, if possible, creating a calming bedtime routine and avoiding screens before sleep, and making sure you wake up at the same time every morning. And it starts to become a habit, like all of this stuff. The more you do it, the more it becomes easier to do.
Erica, I have a quick thought on this and then a question. So one, I have like a terrible memory and recall, but every now and then there's like a certain point that sticks with me. And I remember in reading some book from Arianna Huffington like years ago that was talking, it was actually like called like Sleep Your Way to the Top. It had like a funny name. And it was talking about it was not talking about literally sleeping your way to the top. Well, it was, you know, not having sex, to clarify, sleeping, because the importance of sleep, every point you were just making. But she made, and this has like been studied, but she was just referencing the studies of a lack of sleep has been compared, and how it impairs your ability to make decisions and function is compared to being drunk. So being sleep deprived, right, is the equivalent in certain circumstances of driving under the influence. And I thought that to me like really stuck with me. And then my question for you, so what have you done to improve your sleep? Like when you say you're like sleeping better now.
Oh, I had to see a sleep psychologist. It was a whole thing. Like this was like a legitimate medical thing. But yeah, there were times where I would like not sleep for a whole night and I would either have to call in sick to work the next day because there was no way I could drive myself to work. I knew the effects of driving.
How long ago was that?
In the last decade. I mean, it went through phases, like in college, high school. I've had sleep issues since high school.
And you think are the solutions like meditate? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is it medicine? Is it meditative? Is it all the things you just said of like having a routine?
There's no one solution for everybody. It depends on the extent to which you are deprived. And mine became a habit over so many years. So the sleep psychologist was helping me break that habit and breaking what I thought I knew I was supposed to do. So that's why there's no one, oh, you're supposed to do this. Everything's different for each person.
Yeah.
But I can attest to prioritizing sleep, and I'm like a much happier person. I'm more grounded in making decisions throughout the day, just a kinder person to be around, hopefully.
I'm glad you've been able to improve. I shouldn't say fix that because I think it's probably never fixed, but like improve that. And I think your example of seeking professional help is a really good one, because there's a lot of things in these things we're talking about where you can do some of this stuff on your own. And then sometimes you can't. You hit a wall, and there is a lot of value in investing in professional help.
Yes, I think. And yeah, professional help, period. So I think one of the biggest things to help with your exhaustion levels, and I hear this primarily in women and other mom friends, including you who I talk to, is setting boundaries. There's this thing that happens where a lot of us feel like we just have to say yes to everything. For example, the other day at my son's baseball game, the umpire was like, we are short on umpires. We'll do training. Would anyone want to do it? And I'm like, oh, I could be an umpire. And I'm like, why would I sign up for this? Why would this go through my head?
Oh, I love it.
I have no time.
Like, I could be an empire. I would say the same thing.
Right.
And then I would, like, resent myself and kick myself the entire season while I'm fucking, I don't even know what umpires do, but I think you're literally getting balls thrown at you. Aren't you, like, standing there covered in gear?
You are getting hit by balls. And
it sounds terrible. Like,
and these are okay. These are fourth grade boys who, like, do not know how to pitch. So
their aim is, yeah, at your face.
Yeah. Yeah. I would just be in, like, one of those inflatable Halloween costume suits. To take all.
Did you have that moment before you signed up?
I didn't.
Like, you're not an umpire.
I didn't sign up for the umpire. No, okay. I didn't
sign up. Congratulations.
I was like, oh, this guy needs help. We should do it. And then every mother I talk to, and I'm sure it's men too, but it seems to be a trend with women where women have a tendency to say yes to everything and overcommit mm-hmm. themselves. And I've had multiple conversations in the last few days of, I don't know why I signed up for this or that. I'm just so exhausted. I just felt like I needed to contribute. It's like, you're contributing by, like, taking your kids to do these things. You're contributing by being, hopefully, an active, positive member of society. So learning to set those boundaries and having the foresight to say, you know what? Probably not a great idea for me to sign up to be an umpire. Why would I ever think that should be something that I would do? But outside of setting boundaries around becoming an umpire in your free time, learning to do it at work. There's this thing called non-promotable work that women end up getting roped into at work.
I did a lot of non-promotable work.
I did too.
I mean, sometimes it was promotable. It was hard to differentiate at times, but I did a lot of things which were, like, appreciated, but not compensated, you know?
And it takes more of your time, and it takes probably more of your time away from what you actually want to be doing. So to assess that value of, like, do I actually want to do this? Is this something I'm going to, like you said, I resent myself for later? It works. Sometimes it's a little harder, but learning to have that relationship to try to set boundaries, or just in life in general. I mean, I think now over the last few years, we've been given permission to set boundaries, and people are now learning to use their voice to do that. And it's amazing. It's huge. Like, I'm doing it and I feel so much better. I'm just creating more space for myself in my life to allow room for the things that I actually want to be doing.
I am terrible at setting boundaries.
You definitely
are. So I'm
not
sure anyone wants to take advice from me. But one thing I will say that, like, if you need to sort of have some baby steps towards setting boundaries. Now, I will say, like, since you called me out and agreed that I'm terrible at setting boundaries, it comes from a good place. Like, I want to help and I know how to do a lot of things. And so I want to, like, anyways, one thing that I noticed and kind of learned at some point was an easy way to set boundaries, and it won't stop all of them, but it will stop some of them. Like, it could have stopped the umpire situation, is there are times when I was too fast to raise my hand or too fast to even reply to an email. And I would slowly learn, you know what? I don't need to be the first person to reply. Let me wait and see if some other people can work this out. And then if they can't, I will step in and help, especially as I was often, like, more senior than other people on some email chain. And so I don't need to, like, jump in with the answer. I could let other people figure it out and then be there to help if they can't. And I could be there, like, it's school. If they really can't, sometimes, like, a sign up genius goes out and they need people to do stuff. I don't have to be the first to sign up. I can wait. And if they're really struggling, and if there's a third plea that comes out, and I feel bad because I've been on the other side of the people making the pleas for help. So I want to help. But there's times when I am overcommitted and I just can't do it all, and it's not helpful to them or me. And I just don't need to be the first person to sign up. I can wait until there's a final plea of, like, hey, we really need some help. And then I can be like, okay, on this one, like, they're clearly struggling. I'm going to learn how to be a fourth grade baseball umpire.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I've been learning that myself too. And along the same baseball lines, the coach asked one of the parents to create a snack sign up, and no one did. And I feel like everyone was just playing a game of chicken. I was like, this is a snack sign. And it was through Excel. You know how I feel about Excel. I don't like it. And I was like, well, I'll do it, because clearly no one's doing this. Like, the kids aren't going to have snacks, and this is yeah. low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. No, and that's a good example of something that's going to take, you know, 5 minutes to do. And I love Excel, so, you know, I'll make that. I'm just not even my baseball team, and I'll make that snack sign up for you.
Do you want to come be an umpire with me?
No. I mean, I would if I could, Erica.
No.
But I just, we'd be so great Portland's umpire so far team. Away. The commute. I would look great in that outfit, though.
In the inflatable Halloween costume to avoid getting hit with all the
that
balls.
That feels like a terrible thing, by the way, because it would immediately, like, the ball would go right through that air.
Probably.
It's just air.
Oh, you mean stuff can go through air? Okay. Yeah, no, you're right.
It would look like you're going to be protected, and then you'd be like, ouch.
Right.
That hurt.
Right.
Okay. I don't know how to segue from that, but you were going to talk
Speaking
about
of
social
ouch,
connections.
self-care, physical activity. How do we want to segue from Ouch?
I'll bring you back. Social connections. Like there are days, and I don't know if you would agree, but like, I know we sometimes get on to record and you're in the middle of a busy work day and I don't to have the same I actually have like I need to quit saying I don't have a job because I have a lot of jobs. I have a ton of volunteer roles. I've got a lot of rental properties. I've got a lot of stuff going on. Anyways, a lot of days I have a busy day, but when I get on with you, I do actually leave feeling more energized, even though this just took up, you know, an hour of both of our days. Being able to engage with someone like a good friend that I like and a meaningful social connection, like it does boost my mood. And the research shows that also combats fatigue and exhaustion. And I feel that personally. I don't know if you do, Erica, or do I just make you more exhausted?
Not really. Not with you, no. Of course I do. And I look forward to when we get to record. And yeah, I'm exhausted. And I'm like, all right, I'm glad I did this. And that's the thing is when you asked me if I would be one of the hosts with you, you know, I was like, yeah, this actually sounds fun. And this is something I do want to dedicate my time to.
And one of the reasons you set boundaries is so that you can say yes. You know, you're always like, look, if it's not a hell yes, say no.
Right.
I hear that a lot. I say hell yes to way too many things, though. But it is like, you know, the reason, you know, for every umpire you say no to, you have time to say yes to something else when it does pop up that you're really excited about and that will help fuel you, not take energy from you.
Yes. And that's the biggest thing is like, I want to leave space in my life for the things that kind of add value. Not that umpiring wouldn't. I mean, it would probably add to my medical bills. Yeah. So along those lines of social connections, physical activity is another good thing to prioritize because regular exercise can boost your energy levels. Even just a short walk or stretching can make a difference. So like find what works for you and incorporate it into your routine. Routines are really helpful. Even just, I tried to make a routine where every day before lunch, I would walk the dog for 15 minutes. That we both got our steps in. And, you know, you get a screen break if you sit in front of your screen all day, like a majority of us do. Get out in nature.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And all of this stuff is backed by a ton of research. So it's not just our opinion. Like physical activity, even when you feel exhausted, will actually make you feel better in the short and long term. And I think nutrition is the same way. So it doesn't always, you don't, the more stressed you are, the more you crave a lot of junk food and processed food. But that stuff makes you feel crappy and even more exhausted. And this is all backed by science and massive amounts of research and data. But you eating more whole foods, like real whole foods, less processed foods, like prioritizing fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and whole grains and staying really hydrated and limiting your caffeine and alcohol and sugar, like that will make you feel better 100%. There is no way it won't make you feel better in the short term, the first 24, 48, 36 hours, 72, I can't do math, whatever. First few days, it's might feel crappy because your body is getting adjusted. I always feel better when I'm eating better. And that is not just my opinion. That again is a fact backed by
science.
The science. The science community. Science.
Yeah.
Period.
And the better you eat and the more physically active you are, the better you sleep, the better you sleep.
Yep.
The better choices you make throughout your day. It's all cyclical. It's a habit that a lot of us kind of have a hard time even getting into because of the culture that we're living in. But we don't have to fall victim to that. We can create what works for us.
On that point, the just prioritizing self-care in general, and self-care is going to be different to everybody, but like scheduling downtime to be able to recharge, if that's reading, you know, spending time on different hobbies you have. Self-care for you could be that you really enjoy going for walks. And so maybe some of your self-care happens to align with physical activity, but it may not. But just scheduling time. And I think the important thing to just kind of wrap this up on is like self-care is not selfish. It is incredibly essential for your physical, mental, emotional well-being. And the more intentionality and focus you put on your physical, mental, emotional well-being, the less exhausted you will be. And, you know, we talk about intentional spending all the time. That same concept can be applied to how you are living your life. And taking some time to stop and think about what's working for you and what's not and how you want to make changes in your life, and then doing some, you know, thoughtful actions to move forward in the direction you want to move towards and not in the direction you don't want to move towards, I think is incredibly important. And to me is, you know, there's no silver bullet to exhaustion, but there is the idea of being more mindful and more intentional and using that to feel better and to do better so you feel better.
So your point about intentional spending, this is living intentionally.
Yeah, exactly. On that note, Erica, we're going to be intentional because one of our goals, one of the things that Erica and all of the co-hosts and I are trying to do is keep it to a, you know, slightly shorter podcast length for our own exhaustion and time sanity and just the trying to continue to keep this in our lives, but do it in a way that works for us and where we all have enough time to continue to do this podcast. And so we will wrap it up on that note. And anything you want to, any closing thoughts, Erica? You're out of time. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well then no.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
No, I don't.
What you got?
I was trying to think of something, but no. No, I think we said it all.
Okay, we did. We did it all. Okay, well, we appreciate you all listening. We know your time is limited. Like we said, you're probably exhausted. And we appreciate you taking some of your limited time and spending it with us. If you've enjoyed this episode and you're not too exhausted, you could leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And look, if you are too exhausted, don't do it. It's fine. You don't have time. Go do something else. But if you do it, we really appreciate it.
And we encourage you to also share this with a friend or family member to encourage ongoing discussions about funny money and exhaustion. These are topics that we can discuss with the people in our lives.
You know, you've got an exhausted friend. Send this podcast to them.
Yep.
And then have like a connect, be like, let's go have, I mean, I'm being serious. Like, let's go have coffee and let's like prioritize some social connection and, you know, make some commitments to each other to set boundaries and practice self-care and all that good
stuff.
Go
to yoga and get some coffee and then go take a nap.
And then subscribe to the Inside Out Money podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay. Well, if you have any thoughts or questions, we always love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram. Okay. Thanks, Erica. I am actually less exhausted after talking to you.
Me too. Thanks, Maggie.
Bye.
We're going round and round and round and round.